Centennial Parliament, San Antonio, Texas.
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough roads to get up to 88.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Taz Dingo! Yes!
It's showtime.
This is Old School at the Movies, episode 80, for May 22nd, 2014. Old School at the Movies is brought to you by the Trending Topics Network. Check out some great shows like The Split Decision, Trending Mobile Technology, and The Spanish Announce Table. Welcome back to Old School at the Movies, your one-stop shop for all your movie-related news. I'm your host, Mr. Old School. Before we get to the panel this week, let's get into the contact information. OldSchoolMovies.net is the site where you can listen, download, and subscribe to the podcast. If you want to get in touch with us directly, go fuck yourself. No, just kidding. Don't be shy, people. OldSchoolMovies2@gmail.com, or you can tweet us at OldMovies.net. That's OldMoviesDOTnet. So without further ado, let's introduce our massive panel for this week. Start with our Iron Man, Mr. Heavyset.
Welcome to Old School at the Movies, a.k.a. Les French Announce Table.
Les Français Announce Table. Keb Boutrek.
Howdy.
We've got Carp.
Dup.
From the Wayback Throwback Podcast, we have Phil.
Hey, what's up?
We've got Will, or not. And last and certainly least, from comicbooksftw.com, we've got Andre.
I'm glad to be here.
All right, let's get into the news for this week.
I'm Bruce Nolan for Eyewitness News. Back to you, fuckers.
The Purge breakout escape game invites you to survive the night. Coen Brothers' next film will be Hail Caesar with George Clooney. Godzilla sequel in development, but where does the story go now? Christopher Nolan's Interstellar delivers an epic first trailer. Halle Berry gets a Taken of her own with Kidnap. Helen Mirren and Aaron Paul are joining Colin Firth for Eye in the Sky. And we have some Avengers spoilers. And to end this week, the Avengers Ensemble grant one dying man's final request. Heavyset, what would you like to discuss this week?
Talk about that Avengers story.
If you're looking for a little quick pick-me-up to restore your faith in humanity, this little story ought to do the trick. Stratford Caldicott is a huge Marvel fan who has been diagnosed with advanced prostate cancer back in October of 2011. Just recently, doctors told him that he only had about 12 weeks left to live, and his daughter Sophie really wanted to make them something special. Her father is too ill to venture out to a movie theater to see Captain America the Winter Soldier, so she started the hashtag CapForStrat in order to get Marvel to send a copy of the film to their home so he can watch it before passing on. Now, if you read the article, a bunch of these Marvel stars, I mean, Ruffalo, you've got Sam Jackson, you got the guy who played Loki, the Iron Man, the Thor, all of them went and took, I guess, not selfies, but a picture with the hashtag CapForStrat. And now apparently Marvel's actually going to work on getting that film so they can actually watch it. I think that was a really cool thing for them to do. I think they did something similar with Star Trek. I think the daughter has an amazing initiative to actually get this to happen. All in all, a good story, good PR and good press for Marvel. And just to grant the dying man's wish, I think it's a class act. Heavyset, let's get your thoughts.
It's always great when you hear any type of big company doing something like this. It reminds me of recently with WWE and the kid, Connor, I believe his name was, who dying kid, and WWE did a whole bunch for him, for his life. And also reminds me of the movie Fanboys. And it's just kind of heartwarming to know that some of these people aren't after the almighty dollar. I mean, granted, this is going to create great PR for them and make them look good. But I think all in all, their heart's in the right place, I'm hoping. And it's always cool if we could hear more stuff like this, but it is what it is, and I like hearing it.
Yeah, I also noticed Lawrence Fishburne was a photo was taken of him too, so that's kind of cool. Nobody caught that.
Yeah, but we're not going to respond to that.
All right, Phil. Now that we got you on the line, what would you like to discuss this week?
Since I'm a huge Coen Brothers fan, let's go for that story.
If you're a movie lover or liker, there's a chance a new film from the Coen brothers is an event. The duo have been responsible for some of the greatest films of this recent era, and their last, Inside Llewyn Davis, only solidified the Coens' considerable skill and reputation. Now they're going back to the broad comedy, reteaming with George Clooney for Hail Caesar. Deadline reports that Hail Caesar is the next film for the prolific duo, with George Clooney attached to star. The script focuses on Eddie Mannix, a mover and shaker of the 1950s, tasked with protecting the seedier and more questionable aspects of lives of certain movie stars. Phil, I think, is a really cool concept. Obviously, Big Lebowski was one of my favorite movies, so I am a huge Coen Brothers fan as well. And, you know, with the dawning of nothing really gets covered anymore, you can't really hide any secrets with, you know, the internet and tabloids and all this. It's kind of cool to see back in the day where people could actually get away with doing shit. So I think it's a cool concept. Coen's brothers is always a good thing. I think it's definitely something I want to check out. Let's get your thoughts.
I'm super excited because George Clooney and the Coen brothers, that's always a winning combination. And the fact that this is a 1950s thing. So I like when the Coens go retro, and I like when they go meta, because now they're going to poke fun, I guess, at the whole movie star system and the whole old Hollywood style of, yeah, all the reporters and then their interaction with the stars and all that. So it's going to be a fun movie. I'm looking forward to it.
Kebo Trek, what would you like to discuss?
Let's go with Taken.
Kidnap. Don't you mean Kidnap? Female Taken? Halle Berry's going action heroine for the new adventure. Thankfully, it's not Catwoman 2, but a high-octane thriller called Simply Kidnap. You can probably guess its premise from there. THR reports out of Cannes that Halle Berry is signed on to front Kidnap, a thriller that will follow a harrowing journey of a mother who will stop at nothing to recover her kidnapped son. I'm guessing she has a particular set of skills. You know, she was a bit of a draw in The Call, so she definitely got star power for kind of these action thrillers. I mean, it's a shame that this stuff's getting recycled again, but, you know, just out of curiosity, I might rent it. Kebo Trek, what do you think of this whole Taken phenomenon?
Yes, so it's funny how any movie, like even resembling Taken, gets kind of like, you always bring that comparison back. Like, this movie's going to be kind of like it, and all anyone's going to think about is Taken. Which, it's kind of funny, because Taken, while, I mean, it was a hit, it wasn't like it was just this massive, massive hit. Well, I mean, okay, it was, but...
Yeah, it was a pretty, what did it draw, like 200 million or something?
Yeah, I mean, it was a hit relative to its budget, but it wasn't like this massive Star Wars or Marvel kind of thing. So it's just funny that every movie kind of gets compared to it, which is great, because it provides good entertainment. And another thing that interests me from the article was talking about how Halle Berry's star has fallen a bit, which is surprising. I was surprised when I heard she was going to go back to TV, because it's generally seen as a big step down when a big movie star...
I mean, she has peaked. I mean, she has hit the upper echelon, so I guess it would make sense. That, I mean, nobody's going to keep that same level, right?
Well, why not? But do you think it's because of her age, or...
I think people just have lost interest in her.
But why? Like, I was trying to think about why, and I can't really think of a reason.
I don't see your argument about going down to TV. I mean, look at stuff like True Detective, which has brought in Harrelson and McConaughey, and it's one of the best shows on TV. Like, the TV writing nowadays is sometimes far above and beyond any single movie out there. So
no, but
I don't think it's a bad thing going to TV for a 13-episode something on HBO, which is one of the best TV shows you've ever fucking seen.
But it's,
I mean, it's almost like keeping her relevant going to TV.
Well, yeah, I mean, Bryan Cranston became a star because of TV, and that's why everybody wants him now. Right?
No, but is the Barry thing a 13-episode special, or is it supposed to be a series?
I'm not sure.
Yeah,
okay,
not...
but anyways, what I want to say is that the reason why Barry lost interest, I'm seeing it more that we just didn't see her in movies. She has a 2-year gap, and the only thing that's in there is like Things We Lost in the Fire. So I believe that's more what the problem is. We just lost track of her because she wasn't there. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah. So, Will, now that we got you on the line, man, what would you like to discuss?
Interstellar, please.
All right. So let's play the trailer for the greatest movie of all time. I'm calling it right now.
A little late, Coop.
Yeah, we got a flat.
It's an Indian surveillance drone.
Solar cells power an entire farm.
Okay, what the fuck is this, science?
What'd you do, Murph?
She didn't do nothing.
Murphy's Law.
You're a well-educated man, Coop. And a trained pilot.
And an engineer.
The world doesn't need any more engineers. We didn't run out of planes and television sets. We ran out of food.
Dad, why did you name me after something that's bad?
Oh, we didn't.
Murphy's Law.
Murphy's Law doesn't mean that something bad will happen. It means that whatever can happen will happen.
We must confront the reality that nothing in our solar system can help us.
Now you need to tell me what your plan is to save the world.
We're not meant to save the world. We're meant to leave it. And this is the mission we were trained for.
I've got kids, Professor.
Get out there and save them.
I have no idea when you're coming back.
We must reach far beyond our own lifespans. We must think not as individuals, but as a species. We must confront the reality of interstellar travel.
Murph, I love you forever.
Interstellar, Chris Nolan's sci-fi thriller. You know, when you first watch the trailer that'll be in the show notes, it really seems like a Signs, World War Z. You know, you got the one guy who kind of knows how to do everything, who's also the father and the blah, blah, blah. But then it goes to this other level of like global warming and the world's fucked. And then it looks like more of a mind fuck than what it's perceived in the trailer. And I really enjoy that, the fact that not everything's kind of being shown in the trailer. And knowing Nolan's past for success and really just going to that next level, I really think that this movie is way beyond what we're seeing here, and I'm really looking forward to it. Let's get your thoughts, Will.
Well, I hope there is more to it than the trailer, because I remember Inception, the reason why we all freaked out is because we would see them floating. We had a sense of, like, we saw what happened in the dream. But in this trailer, we don't. It's like all the tease leading up. I really hope there... I mean, we know there's more to it, but this trailer is not getting me excited for that. That's all I meant to say.
I see what you mean. But the one thing is, this is my... And, you know, I'm going to write this down in my new red book of predictions, okay? We're going to come back next year, and I'm gonna say this, and it's going to... Okay, this is what I predict. He's dumbing down the trailer on purpose, and it's going to be an absolute fucking mind fuck of a story, and it's going to be the best movie of the year.
Okay, do you think it will beat... Because to me, the film to beat since it came out is Inception. I haven't seen something of the movies...
Yeah, it's going to be better than Inception.
Okay, good. I will hold you to that, and you know what? We're not going to bet, because, I mean, you could always say, well, I preferred it, so give me $10. But what we're going to do is, I do want to keep this here because my favorite film has been Inception. And I personally believe that it will not beat Inception. However, if it does, we all win. Well, because you win, you know, your prediction.
I win, yes.
Yeah, exactly. And I win by having seen an amazing film that blew my mind. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
So I win. All right, Andre, let's get your choice for this week.
Pick Marvel, Dre.
I think I'm going with the Marvel sequel there.
All right, so... Out of respect to the fans, and I know sometimes I get a bit of flack for this because I am a huge anti-spoiler guy. So I didn't even read the article because I didn't want to go down that rabbit hole. But from what I understood, there were major plot revealing of the plot, especially in Iron Man. He's apparently got a new role in this movie. It's a lot different from what he's saying. I don't know, has anybody read, or Dre, have you read these spoilers? Can you give us some insight?
I'm like you. I don't like spoilers. In fact, Kev Bo there, I try not to watch spoilers. I like Game of Thrones. I'm holding till the very end of the entire season 4 so I don't watch it, so I don't know anything about it. And I get, like, you know, I try to avoid all media. Same thing with, like, movies that I want to see. I try to, like, black out everything in order to see it in without being biased or anything. So, unfortunately, I can't give you anything noteworthy for that.
You know what? Dre brings up a really good point. And I am also the fan. I don't like the curtain being pulled out behind me too much. I don't like to know too much about what's going on before it happens. And, you know, seeing some trailers actually spoiling the entire film, I think it's just, you know, it's, you got to have that good balance of drawing people in and also not revealing too much. And I find today, trailers reveal way too much on certain movies. Bad Grandpa, for example, literally the entire movie was in the trailer. You know, but it's not like, oh, you know, I'm missing so much because I'm missing plot points on Bad Grandpa that it's getting revealed to me. But it's the point that I want to be able to enjoy that experience when I'm in the theater and I don't want to overanalyze stuff. Let's get your thoughts. I'll throw this to the group. What do you guys think about, you know, like major plot points being revealed online? Would you check it out just out of curiosity? Can you withhold that? And would you rather wait? Or let's get your thoughts.
Okay.
I'll throw it to
I just want to, because usually I don't. Like, I saw that this was one of the options on the list. And though I am curious, I chose not to look at it. I don't want to spoil it for Avengers yet. However, there are some films that when I'm very iffy about them, I will want to know what they are. For example, the next Transformers film, I'm very worried will turn out to be shit like all the others. And because I'm a fan of the characters in the franchise, not the film franchise, but the franchise itself, I hope it works well. So I will be following that very closely in order not to get disappointed when I do get to see the movie and it turns out to be crap like the others. I will read the reviews, I will read the spoilers, I want to know exactly what goes on, what to expect, like that when I go in, I will not be disappointed like I was so many times before. So that's for that. Same for Indiana Jones and the Last, and no, not The Last Crusade, but Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull. I was looking forward to Indiana Jones. I heard it wasn't that great, so to work on my expectations, I looked at the entire plot, and I decided to avoid it completely, and I have thus far not watched that last film, and I'm very glad of it. So it goes a bit both ways. But Interstellar, I will do my best to actually not watch too much more of Interstellar. I usually think that actually Nolan's trailers are very good. Don't give it too much. Like, I didn't know anything about Inception walking in. I just knew the visuals that would accompany it. I thought that was actually pretty cool. So you can stick to maybe a more visual trailer and not necessarily a plot-heavy trailer. That would be ideal for me.
Well, it's funny you mentioned Interstellar, and Keith, old school mentioned Bad Grandpa, because at first I felt like you did with Interstellar, where I was like, it doesn't tell anything in a story. But the more I thought about it, the more I was happy with that, because I think of something like, I forget the name of the Seth MacFarlane comedy, the West one.
A Million Ways to Find a West.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, like, I'm worried, like, with that movie, that all the funny stuff is going to be in the trailer. So I'm kind of glad that we're, like, Nolan kind of left. Like, you don't really know what's going on. And I'm finding I like that more and more with trailers. Even for Inception, like, you got the good visuals, but you didn't know what was going on. So I like that they're kind of keeping stuff from the trailers where you going into it, you know what's going to happen.
Speaking of that, I've watched the movie twice and I still don't know what's going on. Just saying. Anybody else want to discuss? Go ahead, Abby.
I'm probably the only one that I actually don't mind certain spoilers. It all depends on how deep they go. I think one of my favorite ones was a year before Avengers came out, I found out that Thanos was going to be in the movie somehow, some way, and it was something that I kept in the back of my mind. And the whole time in the movie, I was thinking, well, first it was kind of like, thought he'd be kind of the villain, that they'd be doing something with him, and it turns out they didn't. So I was like, oh, I wonder if that was something that just got thrown by the wayside. And then when I got to that middle credit scene, like, I went crazy because there it was, the Thanos actually made it. But I don't think it really spoiled anything for me. But like I said, I think it depends on what it is. And I still think one of the worst trailer spoilers, at least in my opinion, was as a kid, was the movie Titanic. Everybody's seen the trailer, and I think there was one particular point, and we all know what happened to the Titanic, too. There's a point where you can see that Leonardo DiCaprio is alive when the ship is about to go down. I mean, they're on the back of the boat, and it's, like, pummeling straight into the water. But yet they do this scene in the movie, like, he's trapped in the lower decks, and, oh, no, he might drown, and Rose has to save him. But it's like, I already seen him when the boat goes about to go down. So he obviously makes it out. I mean, that's the stuff that I wish they would stop having in trailer. Like, stuff that's just so clear. Like, oh, I know so-and-so is going to get out of this because this part that I've seen in the trailer hasn't happened yet.
Well, the fact that Leo wasn't in Titanic 2 also spoils it, so.
By the way, I thought you were going to say I was spoiled by Titanic. I didn't know the ship sank and the trailer showed it to me, and I was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. All right, Carp, I'm guessing we're talking about The Purge?
Well, yeah, it's the only article I'd like to talk about that's left, so.
Who's ready for The Purge? Not quite? Well, Universal's given you an opportunity to prepare with their planned immersive experience, The Purge Breakout, which is set to tour the country starting later this month and may be coming to a city near you. Those familiar with the concept from the original film and the upcoming sequel to Purge, Anarchy, know that the fictional Purge Night is an annual event created by New Founders of America, set in the near future where citizens are encouraged to purge their violent tendencies for a 12-hour period. All crime, including murder, is legal. For some, the streets become a playground of chaos, offering opportunities for violence and vengeance. Others would prefer to stay indoors, locked away, for those looking to exercise their rights to purge. So, Carp, this seems to be like a, kind of a puzzle game, interactive, where you go in with a bunch of people trying to figure out stuff so that you don't get killed, obviously. No murder will be happening in these games. You know, there are insurance and stuff like that, but it's more just for fun, and it's more to also promote the film. I think this is the first time I've ever seen something like that, this kind of interactive experience, and I think it's really interesting. You know, instead of spending money on marketing and TV commercials, you make these immersive experiences, and you really put the movie out there, and you get a lot of publicity. I think it's original. I think it's a great idea. What do you think?
Yeah, stuff like this has been done before. I know, like for Contagion, they made like a giant petri dish in downtown Toronto, and the month before the film, it was actual germs or whatever it was, and it actually grew into the word Contagion. It's simple enough. It's cheap. They're actually charging people to do this kind of game, which is cool. It's straight into the, like they say, the Universal Studios Halloween Horror Night. From what I understand, Universal Studios Halloween, they take some old school horror and basically make a huge event at Universal Studios parks. So I would definitely like to try this out. There's a few things like this. I heard there was a Halloween horror camp or something. And you go camping, and these people act like the monsters, the killers and stuff. And,
that's awesome.
They terrorize you all night long unless you say the safe words, which are, I want my mommy.
Please don't rape me.
No, there's only an extent to what they're allowed to do to you, obviously.
Okay.
legal purposes. And I'm more than sure they make you sign a release form saying, you know, if you get injured, too fucking bad.
Yeah, if we kill you, hey, that's your fault.
And like they say, they strongly discourage participation of anyone under 13. And from what I understand, Americans 13-year-olds old nowadays are more fucked up than ever. So if they discourage it at this time and age, then it's got to be really messed up. And closest one is New York City, June 13th to 15th, which it's a little tempting to go check out. So.
All right, let's get into the movie review of the week. I'm going to start with Spider-Man 2, because it's been a couple weeks since we've been doing one of the news weeks. So start with Dre, Spider-Man 2, go.
Oh, man, where can I begin? This is the worst Spider-Man since Spider-Man 3. I think it was just like the character, the acting on most parts just seemed to be just meshed together. Good actors, they just didn't know really what to do with them. There's too much emphasis on this whole Peter Parker's family, which was annoying. I mean, everyone in the whole room breathed a sigh of relief when the whole talking about his parents was over. The only good part I found was the relationship between Gwen Stacy and Peter. Very emotional. You could see the characters and the actors themselves were very much into each other. But apart from that, I felt it was too campy, even for Spider-Man, and I felt that they made him more like a goofy character, and yeah, that's I can go on and on, but we only have so much time.
Not a fan, obviously, from what you're telling me. What'd you give it on 10?
I'd give it a 4.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it was as bad as emo Spider-Man?
No.
I didn't ask you.
Yeah, it failed on too many levels. I felt they had the same problem as emo Spider-Man, except it was emo Harry Osborn. Yeah, and there's dubstepping while Electro's going through like all these like electrical coils. Yeah, just so much more. But yeah, that's all I'm going to say for now.
Well, I'm glad I missed that one. Anybody else want to discuss? Oh, sorry, have you go.
I was going to say, so what you're saying, it's 4 out of 10 at best.
Yeah.
Anybody else see it?
Yeah, of course. I think Old School, you should give it a shot. Do you like Emma Stone?
I liked her in Zombieland.
Okay, well, then you know what? You should watch it. She's awesome in this. I see what he's saying. I saw the same film. However, the good scenes to me outweighed the bad by a lot. The chemistry between Peter and Gwen is insanely hot. You could tell these people are fucking in real life because it's like they can't get their like hands off each other. It's like the beginning of like a porn flick. It's really, really intense. So when you see that kind of need for one another and how big the stakes get at the end, it really takes you for a heck of a ride. So I was very impressed by this. It was, to me, the best romance I've ever seen on camera this year so far. The web-slinging is the best it's ever been in any film. The Spider-Man action in this film is phenomenal and perfect. It is gorgeous to watch. The 3D actually works. For the first time this year, a 3D film actually does okay. The one thing I will give it is that the story is not entirely... Not that it's not coherent, but if I were to ask you what story of Spider-Man, of The Amazing Spider-Man 2, it'd be a bit tough to say. This is more like, I would say, a week or a month of the life of Peter Parker. I give this film 7 pretty Gwen Stacy's out of 10.
Anybody else see it?
I saw it. The movie suffers from wanting to set up too much and not delivering on any of the promises. It felt like Will said, like the pilot episode for some long-running series. So as a film itself, if you take this movie by itself, it really falls apart, as in the stuff they try to do and the stuff that they really want you to care for, it really doesn't work. Like the whole thing with Jamie Foxx and Electro, his setup, it falls apart. There's not enough time spent on the character and his motivation. Harry has maybe like 30 minutes in the film, so his story goes by really quickly. Yeah, that's pretty much my thoughts on the film right now.
Cool. What would you give it?
I'll be less harsh than Dre. I'll give it a 6, only because Emma Stone is really hot.
I mean, you know what? Dre is hardcore Spider-Man fan, so you know if he's poo-pooing on it, it's really turning me off to go see it. Anybody else see it?
Did you just say poo-pooing?
I did say poo-poo.
What are you,
yes.
What are you for?
Hey, man, I'm trying to be. I'm trying to swear a bit less now.
Sure.
I'm trying to be a little more appropriate.
But Old School, what do you want in the film? Because why does Andre, as a big Spider-Man fan who's nitpicking? In this sense, I mean, for him, it's important, but for maybe someone who's not
he wasn't nitpicking. He literally said it was a piece of shit.
No, I know. Yeah. No, I understand.
You know, pretty much, no, he's POS.
The storyline was too convoluted. They basically, they could have taken out the middle of the movie, like 40 minutes of the middle, and that would have probably raised the movie up to like maybe 6 or 7 to me.
Like the whole part. Yeah, the whole thing with Electro could have been taken out. Like that, yeah. It felt unnecessary.
They made Jimmy Fox's character like Jim Carrey's character, the Riddler and Batman, but it doesn't fit. Unlike the Riddler, it didn't really fit for that character.
I'm happy that someone thought said the exact same thing I thought. When I'm not a huge Spider-Man fan, I don't know a lot of the backstories, but the whole Riddler thing is exactly what I was thinking the whole time, and I'm like, well, this is kind of cool because we haven't seen this in a movie in quite some time, and I'm thinking, well, maybe it's like the comic book approach. But I think as a whole, like for me, the movie wasn't too bad. Like I said, not a big Spider-Man fan. I would recommend people to go see it. I'd probably give it a 5 or 6 out of 10, not even that high. I do agree with the whole 3D thing. I happen to see this one in 3D, not by choice. It's just closest time to movie time from the time that I was going. And yeah, I think that's. I mean, everything else that I can think of was probably already said, and yeah, that's my rating. And Spider-Man sucks.
You know, I'm going to say this. Will was asking me, you know, what Dre said that kind of turned me off. When I heard same as emo Spider-Man, that's code for do not fucking go see that. So that's all I needed.
It's not as bad as emo Spider-Man. I would say that because it doesn't insult the audience. Because Sam Raimi was trying something. He was trying to piss people off. And yeah, this one at least has, I would say, heart. It's trying to do stuff, but it just took on way too much in terms of trying to set up this character and then all the storylines, trying to mesh them together. So yeah, it suffers from too many villains and not enough time.
Why the fuck did they put so many villains in? I don't understand. Same problem with the third one, where they put 500 guys in there. They're not in a rush. I don't see why they gotta cram in so many villains. They should stick to one villain or maybe two max per story. There's no point to have so many.
Because Electro gives us some of the coolest, maybe coolest Spider-Man action scenes ever done. Like, it beats the entire trilogy before that. If we took that part out, I guess they would have a hard time selling the movie. Saying that it's like, oh, it's based on the characters. We're trying to set up this universe and we're trying to set up all these people's different motivations. Electro is tossed in there because like, oh, look at the cool, like, him swinging around, Electro, like teleporting everywhere and the whole dubstep. That was terrible.
I think you hit the nail on the head. It's they're pushing that Sinister Six as quickly as they can.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Anybody see Godzilla?
I saw Godzilla.
All right, Carp, let's get your thoughts.
Not enough Godzilla, too many fucking humans.
So it's the anti-Spider-Man.
It sounds like Transformers.
God, there's maybe a half hour worth of Godzilla versus other kaiju.
How long is the movie?
2 hours 10, 2 hours 20, I think.
Wow.
I mean, Bryan Cranston was okay for the amount he was in it. See, seeing Kick-Ass as a military guy was really weird. His wife, Elizabeth Olsen, also screwed me up because I know they're going to be brother and sister in the next Avengers movie. So that's kind of weird to me that they're married and then they're going to be brother and sister. I don't know. From what like they were showing the Godzilla fighting the other monsters, it was cool. But there was kind of like, oh, well, this is going to happen. Trust me, military guy. Don't use nuclear weapons to destroy the Earth while destroying the monsters. I don't know. I was expecting a lot more. I enjoyed it at first, and then I started thinking back on the film, and I started enjoying it less and less. For me, it's 5 Godzillas Destroying Hawaii out of 10.
All right, let's get into the weekend box office. Break it down! All right, Kebo Trek, let's break down the numbers for this week.
No surprise, coming in first place with about $93 million is Godzilla.
No surprise, that's a big domestic weekend, man.
It is, but I guess that was going to be my question to the panel. Given the how the last Godzilla did, well, not the last one, the one in 1998 with the giant dinosaur, are you guys surprised with just how well it did? Or was it because, to me, the marketing was fantastic for the movie.
Oh, yeah, the trailer sold me on it.
Yeah, definitely the trailer. The trailer did it.
So given the how much it's made both domestic and internationally, sequel's already been announced, no surprise there. Coming in second place.
Yeah, sorry, that was another thing I meant to. The way it ends, I don't understand how the fuck they're going to do a sequel either. So.
Didn't we all say that about The Hangover though? Taken. Coming in second place, adding another $25 million, giving it a 90.5 total.
That's fucking sick.
Is Neighbors. I'll have to say, I didn't expect this. And the movie's actually doing pretty good on the foreign market, which a lot of Seth Rogen movies don't necessarily do. And I will have to admit I was wrong. Me and you had this discussion about Zac Efron being a draw. And over 50% of the audience was female.
I fucking told you, man.
So that's, I can admit I was, might have been slightly kind of.
You might have been super fucking kind wrong. Kind of wrong. Fantastic movie, too, eh?
Yeah, I mean, it's lowbrow humor, but it was funny. Coming in third place with $16.8 million is The Amazing Spider-Man. We'll throw this one to the panel quickly. Why do you think it's not done as well on the domestic market than it has on the foreign? Because it's made a killing foreign, but it's not going to get much higher than 200 on the domestic. Any ideas why?
I would say people are sick of Spider-Man. It's overexposed right now.
And probably word of mouth, because the reviews here were pretty... people were pretty low on the movie in general.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Do you find negative reviews would impact it more domestically? It's just movies in general.
Yeah, just movie in general. Yeah. Because word of mouth, like, if you listen to this panel, then, well, we already, like, you're not seeing the movie. So that's one less, like, one less ticket for them.
Yes, but if somebody in China is like, oh.
Yeah, they don't care. I'll
go see it. Yeah, exactly. Sure. Spider-Man, ooh, yeah, good.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually think reviews matter a lot less on the foreign markets. Coming in fourth place, adding $10.5 million, is Million Dollar Arm. In fifth place, with $6.3 million, is The Other Woman. Coming in sixth place, adding $4.3 million, is Heaven Is For Real, giving it a total of $82 million on a $12 million budget.
Like I said, God's a draw, man.
It's true. Coming in at seventh place, with about $3.8 million, is Rio, giving it a total of $118 million.
Get it right. It's Rio 2.
Same thing.
No, it's got a 2.
Coming in at 8th place, adding $3.6 million, is Captain America, The Winter Soldier.
The Winter Soldier. Yeah. I'll take the penis mightier for $400.
Your mother, Trebek.
Giving it a total of $250 million, which apparently will buy a lot of shaky cam. Coming in at 9th place is Legends of Oz.
Not according to Will's buddy, who said it was the most perfect.
Yeah,
film
that guy's. I'm going to call him out every week on this show. Your buddy's a fucking idiot.
The cinematography should have made anything that's ever made an Oscar combined. That's how awesome it was.
He would literally, if that movie Oscars had a cock, ever. He would suck it.
Yeah. coming in at 9th place with $2 million is Legends of Oz, Dorothy's Return. And rounding out the top 10 with $1.7 million is Mom's Night Out, giving it a total of $7
million. All right, upcoming movies this week, we've got X-Men Days of Future Past. Let's play the trailer. Get your thoughts.
So many battles waged over the years. And yet, none of them like this. Are we destined to destroy each other? Or can we change who we are and unite? Is the future truly set? Mutants, we now find ourselves on the edge of extinction. You'll need to go into the past to end this war before it ever begins.
Use your power. Bring the X-Men together.
It's going to take the two of us. Side by side at a time when we couldn't be further apart.
Things that mean the most to me.
Maybe you should have fought harder for them.
There is a new enemy out there. Mutants. You'll need a new weapon for this war.
I know what I have to do. It's us for them.
All those years wasted fighting each other, Charles.
Watched a lot of people die. Friends.
We've been given a second chance.
Guide us. Lead us.
I don't want your future! We were supposed to protect them!
Afraid. I remember.
X-Men Days of Future Past. I love the fact that they're incorporating the older characters. Patrick Stewart, Ian McKellen are coming back, as well as Hugh Jackman. Just so many names. Fassbender. It's three words. Take my money. That's all I'm going to say. Just take my fucking money right now. Who wants to start?
I do.
Go for it, brother.
Yes. You know what? Even though from what I'm understanding from the storyline, it's not going to be like exactly how it was portrayed in the comic books. I love the fact that they are blending in the cast from X-Men First Class, which I think was the best of all the X-Men movies so far. And that includes the Wolverine one, but that's not really a big competition. What I find weird is that they are not having Cyclops in the movie, and Halle Berry will have an actual minor role due to the fact that she has a little baby bump right now. So they've actually cut her lines. I think she only has like one line in the movie, apparently. But it looks
She say something like, "My daughter's been taken"?
Yeah, she's lucky in her... But yeah, this looks awesome.
All right, Cabo Trek. Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, and Dinklage is in it, the guy from Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I saw that. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Cabo Trek, yeah or nay?
Big yeah. I think the trailer is absolutely phenomenal, and I think it definitely will be a contender for movie of the year.
Will, yeah or nay?
Yay.
Heavy set.
Yay.
Carp.
Oh, hell yeah.
Phil.
Not sure about
what?
Yeah, I'm not sure about this one.
What the fuck is wrong with you, dude?
You were burned by
what? What? No, no. Like Dre, my favorite X-Men movie was the last one.
Oh my god, dude.
Yeah. So my question is Bryan Singer going to deliver?
Yes. Whatever you just said, yes.
Is he going to? Because
Because
there was a clip online where Mystique is saving some mutants from the base, and the action looked terrible, terrible.
Dude, I'm gonna put it in my red book right now. Yeah. This is prediction number two. Yeah. Fucking phenomenal. That's
it. It could be really good, but I'm reserved right now.
I think the beast looks pretty terrible too. By the way, that's my opinion, Phil.
Yeah, yeah. It could suffer from stuffing way too much stuff also into one movie, but we'll see. The trailer looks awesome. It's just everything else outside looks like. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Well, okay, I respect your wait and see attitude, especially with the panel being over like unanimous. Of a yay, so we'll, you know, time will tell. Will my red book prediction come true? We will see very shortly. All right, that's pretty much it, right, for the upcoming.
What about the Barrymore Sandler 15th attempt at a rom-com called Blended?
All right, let's not discuss that and go to DVDs for this week.
DVD release.
Will, what's coming on DVDs, man?
All right, so we got actually lots of stuff this week. I'll go through it very quickly. We've got Vampire Academy, which actually got decent ratings, but I don't think it's for us or our crowd.
Nope.
Not at all. We got About Last Night, which also might not be for our crowd. Okay, it's a Kevin Hart film. We've got 3 Days to Kill, which my mom liked a lot.
I'm curious about this one.
Yeah.
Well, look,
it's because it's kind of... He is a badass, and he does kill people, but it does have an over-the-top kind of quality to it that kind of like a machete film a bit, but not enough to make it just that. So it's kind of, it's a bit in between. I don't know. My mom liked it. So
this has been rehashed 500 times. Yes. He's got a certain set of skills, blah, blah, blah.
No, but he's also got like a daughter, and it's kind of funny. Cause
it's Taken. But I like the fact that it's Kevin Costner and it's something different.
Me too, yeah. I agree. Then we got The Grand Piano, which Carp might find interesting, or maybe you guys would too. It's kind of like Speed, but instead of having to keep driving, you have to keep playing the piano. Sluts.
Yeah? I saw the trailer for this. It's like Phone Booth.
Yeah, it's Phone Booth.
Think about it. Yeah.
But you're only seeing the guy play the piano, but he knows that there's a killer. And he's got to like figure out a way of doing something, but he can't stop playing the piano.
Like it says, finds a message written on the score saying, play one note wrong and you die.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
That kind of movie. But you don't.
I would die in like 3 seconds.
Yeah, but and you know what? It's a good cast. Elijah Wood is the guy on
Elijah
the piano.
Elijah Wood's been coming out with some awesome stuff recently, man.
Well, yeah, there was Maniac, too.
Straight-to-video stuff. It's like, it looks so good.
But this is not, this made the festival tour, right? Did it ever get a, what kind of, it got a limited release, didn't it, Carp?
I believe limited, but at least not the festival that matters in Montreal there with Fantasia.
No. It didn't get to Montreal, but it got the States.
I don't know if it went to TIFF or what. It probably hit, it at least hit the Chinese Grand Theater or whatever, that big one in Hollywood.
Yeah, no, but also it hit this horror fest in, I forget what it's called, but in the States there's a festival for horror. The one where We Are What We Are also started there. Anyways, The Monuments Man with directed by George Clooney. It did not get good reviews, though. It was kind of mixed. People found it boring. I don't know. I didn't watch it. Did anybody watch
it? Well, it's definitely a rental. You know, for me, rentals are those action movies I haven't got a chance to see and movies I'm not kind of sure. So this is definitely falls under that category for myself.
We also have Pompeii, starring Jon Snow from Game of Thrones.
Jon Snow.
Jon Snow, there's a volcano, Jon Snow.
You do nothing, Jon Snow.
Anyways, in this film, it's kind of like Gladiator meets Titanic, but none of the good parts from
it. It's Gladiator meets Titanic meets Dante's Peak. I saw it. It's like a 4 out of 10.
Yeah, well, it's getting a 3 stars out of 5 on Amazon, so close enough.
All right, and I have one also to mention. For you Silent Bob fans, Jay and Silent Bob fans, we've got the super groovy cartoon movie, which is now available on digital download. That's it. All right, let's get into the bargain bin for this week.
I'm gonna pop some tags. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm hunting, looking for a comma. This is fucking awesome.
Carp, this week we've got Lords of Salem.
The Lords of Salem. From the singular mind of horror maestro Rob Zombie comes a chilling plunge into a nightmare world where evil runs in the blood. The Lords of Salem tells the tale of Heidi, a radio station DJ living in Salem, Massachusetts, who receives a strange wooden box.
Massachusetts.
Contains a strange wooden box containing a record, a gift from the Lords. Heidi listens, and the bizarre sounds within the grooves immediately trigger flashbacks of the town's violent past. Is Heidi going mad, or are the Lords of Salem returning for revenge on modern-day Salem? This is quite the visual mindfuck of a movie. I enjoyed it. It's a Rob Zombie flick. He said this is kind of his prequel to the Halloween flicks in his own kind of twisted way. Cherry Moon Zombie does a pretty good job as a lead actress. The visuals, like I said, are super messed up. It's all practical effects, which I am a huge fan of, as always.
So no CGI effects at all?
No CGI effects at all, from what I understand. You have all your classic guys like Sid Haig and Clint Howard. Fortunately, the parts were cut, from what I read. Yeah, Clint Howard, Udo Kier, and Sid Haig, who other horror fans would know as character actors in horror films. Unfortunately, their parts were cut out. I mean, the story was really messed up. I found it stayed true to if an actual curse existed from all the Salem murders from back in the 1800s there, from all the witch burnings. If a curse actually came to life in real life, then this is something that would happen. It's super messed up, crazy, like all of a sudden abrupt ending. It's definitely a 7 out of 10 for me. Unfortunately, Rotten Tomatoes only gives it a 45%.
Thank you very much, Carp. Let's close the show with some plugs. Final thoughts. We'll start with Heavyset.
A little bit of things going on with Kayfabe Sports Radio. I got a new show that's not by me. It's a friend of mine from the local indie scene who has had a podcast that he was doing, and I just invited him to come on the network to bring up new shows. I'm trying to work on other new shows and trying to get this one podcast that's somewhat affiliated with the AllWrestling.com Week in Review, a guy who participates on it. It's called the DSJMP podcast. I'm trying to get him on to the network too. I got the Ohio Indie Report that's going to be posted this week, a three interviews talking about the particular event for this coming weekend, the JT Lightning Invitational Tournament, three different guests, so it's going to be very fun.
Do you cover more indie stuff apart from Ohio Valley?
Well, it's not Ohio Valley. It's like it's mostly AIW, just because that's all I get to see, especially with me being on the road. So,
did you get a chance to see the ROH pay-per-view?
No, I've heard really good things about it, but
up on the
upcoming Ohio Indie Report, two members of the ROH roster are going to be part of the episode.
Oh, that's awesome, man. So we'll keep that as a little hidden gem for you guys to check out. Kayfabe Sports Radio. Links are in the show notes. Andre, comic books for the win. What's going on with Parlay Cosplay?
Yeah, we're going back on the whole cosplaying interviews. The Montreal community of cosplayers, guys and girls, this whole summer is essentially just cosplaying interview galore. You got to check it out at www.comicbooksforthewin or comicbooksftw.com. You can also check us out on Facebook.
My guess is the female cosplayers get a little bit higher rating.
Yeah, slightly, a little bit. But you'd be surprised. Some of the guy ones are really good, and just the visuals itself pretty impressive. But yeah, on average, it's usually the girls.
But also, Will, it's cool. Thanks for bringing me in. One thing I've noticed is that the girls aren't necessarily hot, and it's not like the most revealing clothes that win. It's usually the most well thought up clothes that actually win. The most like That's intricate dresses. Yeah, it's cool. So you'll also see on the site, if you go to comicbooksforftw.com, if you go on our YouTube channel, which is what, Dre? It is?
Comic Books for the Win.
FTW? Comic Books FTW? Is that what's our actual YouTube channel?
Comic Books Space FTW.
Okay,
for
good.
For the win.
Good. If you go there...
Comic Books Fuck the World.
If you go there, you will see me interviewing both Marco Rudy, who's a comic book artist, and Nick Bradshaw, who's the current artist for Guardians of the Galaxy, and he talks about the film a bit and how he hopes it does really well for Marvel. So you can see that up on the site and on YouTube right now.
Thank you very much, Will. Kebo Trek, final thoughts.
In the immortal words of Sean Morden, I got nothing.
I thought it was going to be...
Who's that? Carp, final thoughts.
As always, StableWars.com. We are always looking for new members, and we have the UFC pay-per-view up and running at the moment. Please get your picks in by Saturday evening before 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Who are you going with?
In the main event, the Barrera.
Barrera, yeah. Okay. Phil, let's get your plugs and final thoughts.
Once again, check out the Comic Books for the Win.
Jesus, fuck, we got the whole cast.
Yeah, it's a takeover. Sorry. you guys went to the Ottawa Comic Con? Is that what it's called?
Yeah,
there's a lot of cool content coming up on the YouTube channel. There's a lot of cool interviews and interviews with people cosplaying, especially people from outside Canada that you don't usually see here. That's it.
Phil, by the way, is the editor-in-chief of Comic Books FTW. We've got pretty much the entire staff on this week, so check it out one more time, comicbooksftw.com. So for Andre, Phil, Carp, Heavy Set, Will, Kebu, Trek, I am Mr. Old School. Thank you very much for listening.
From the studio that finally learned how to make Pixar movies and the songwriting duo behind Hasadiga Ibowai comes the feature-length music video for Let It Go, Frozen. It's been 3 years since the last Disney musical and 18 years since the last good Disney musical. Now the Big D is back and adjusted for inflation with two princesses, two goofy sidekicks, and three different orphans. Welcome to Arendelle, a magical-ish Scandinavian-ish country that's been cursed with eternal winter, even though their main export is ice. Meet Elsa, a manic depressive princess with a confusing set of powers, like snow blasting, dressmaking, castle building, and creating life?
You're alive?
I think so.
They kind of gloss over that one. Fall in love with her adorkable sister, Anna, who spends 3 years of her adult life shut inside a castle, even though she could leave at any time.
I can't live like this anymore. Then leave.
And who could forget the completely unnecessary, unexplained, magical troll rocks? When disaster strikes, watch Anna save the day by teaming up with her sister, a merchant, a hot guy, and a snowman to defeat villains like her sister, a merchant, a hot guy, and a snowman. Experience a clever twist on past Disney films that teaches girls everywhere they don't need a prince to rescue them, because all men are disgusting loners, greedy murderers, or lying, manipulative, power-hungry sociopaths.
You won't get away with this.
I already have.
Happy now, Jezebel? So gather the family and sing along on a musical journey that's all about the soundtrack, featuring unforgettable songs like the exposition song.
Do you want some exposition? Some information through a song.
The song that sounds like it's from Wicked.
For the first time in forever, Disney let us sing. For the first time in forever, it's as good as Lion King.
The romantic duet.
We are about to pour, totally gonna pour.
The other romantic duet.
I'm kind of turned on by reindeer.
The anthropomorphic sidekicks comic relief song.
When you're out of ideas, you give them a singing snowman.
The one you skip.
We are cutting eyes, cause we are cutting
eyes. The one you don't know the words to.
Scooby's a bit of a fixer-upper with something, something,
and the YOLO song.
Get it out, get it out.
Starring Forgotten Sarah Marshall, Christoph Waltz, Ugly Smirch, Hans Gruber, Merchandising, and the wickedly talented Adele Dazee. Frozen. You don't need true love to thaw a frozen heart. Just soak it in water for a few hours. Works on turkeys.
What's up? It is Heavy Set, and I'm here to tell you about Kayfabe Sports Radio, the home of the Ohio Indie Report and NFL Easy Picks. On the Ohio Indie Report, I break down what's going on in the Cleveland scene of independent wrestling, from AIW to Prime Wrestling, and some of the little organizations in between that I can attend. And if you also like NFL football, be sure to check out NFL Easy Picks, hosted by myself and my good friend Joe Bennett, as we break down and talk about what is going on in football, and we make our picks on the coming week's games. And all of this can be found at www.kfabesports.com. You can also find us on iTunes by searching Kayfabe Sports Radio. And while you're at kfabesports.com, be sure to check out the links for Kayfabe Sports Radio, Ohio Indie Report, and NFL Easy Picks on Facebook and Twitter. So for now, be sure to check out the Ohio Indie Report and NFL Easy Picks on Kayfabe Sports Radio, where it's all a work.
Slamming your brain through a table of wrestling knowledge.
Oh my God!
News and rumors. The Spanish Announce Table.
TrendingTopicsNetwork.com.